We actually have a tremendous guest with us tonight who is very patiently, has been very patiently waiting by the phone there in Los Angeles or in the Los Angeles area. And the person I'm speaking about is a gentleman whom I had the honor to meet in Chicago in June, mid-June, at the Chicago Health Freedom Show. But it wasn't that I hadn't heard of him before. It was the first occasion for me to actually meet him in person. And the gentleman I'm speaking of is Nick Delgado, PhD. And if you ever saw him, you'd see what a buff guy he is, because he's not only got brains, he's got the brawn as well. He, in fact, competed in strength endurance world championships in dumbbell lifts. He led Team USA to the first position in the London event Dragon Challenge, which is very well known amongst those circles. I didn't know about it, to be honest with you, but within those circles, it's extremely well known, and that was quite impressive. And he actually is a holder of some records for endurance weightlifting. This is an incredible thing, because there are people who are, you might even say, stronger than him in certain ways, but in endurance, not at all. Can't hold a candle to Nick Delgado. Nick also has the brains. He's trained thousands of medical doctors about oxidative stress, about free radical damage from toxins, about radiation particles, cellular aging, using this high-powered microscope, and of course, lipid analyzers. I mean, there's a list that goes on and on, and I won't keep you because we're getting a late start, but he's also a major contributing author to the anti-aging clinical protocols that were published by the anti-aging organization known as A4M. And this is a guy who's also a diplomat of the American Academy of Anti-Aging Medicine. He knows a lot about how to slow down the aging process. And if you were to see Nick right now, you wouldn't think he was his age. You'd automatically subtract 20 years off his age, easily, at least. He moderates the largest anti-aging human performance blog for doctors and scientists around the world. It's www.worldhealth, one word, .net. And I think that's Dr. Delgado's cell phone going off. But anyway, he's graduated from University of Southern California with studies at Rancho Los Amigos Hospital at USC, Loma Linda University, and California State Long Beach. So, I mean, this is an incredible guy. And we have a gentleman who could talk about any number of topics. And in fact would. But I think we've decided to just talk about one topic today, or tonight, and that is about hormones and how to use those for to slow down the aging process, prevent aging, premature aging, and the like, and to restore youthful fitness. So, Nick, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, good.
Great
Can
to
you
be
hear
with
me?
you,
Oh,
Scott.
thank you,
Yes,
Nick.
very, very well.
Good. Good to hear you again. Let me just ask, how did you get involved in this anti-aging in the first place? Is it something that you just sort of innately had an interest in?
Well, I started the research about thyroid deficiencies because a dear loved one had passed on due to hyperthyroidism and childbirth, and it compounded into congestive heart failure. So I started my search after I'd already studied extensively about nutrition and oxidative stress and free radical damage and worked with Nathan Pritikin and Tony Robbins. So there was a number of things I'd already accomplished and learned, but I realized that there was this big deficit about how do you balance a person's hormones, and particularly if there's severe symptoms and there's problems not just related to low thyroid or high thyroid levels, but what about if a person's deficient in human growth hormone or testosterone or DHEA? So I started meeting with the world experts, including Dr. Terry Hertog, and I went to his conferences and sat right next to some of the top now revered as anti-aging experts, including Dr. Ron Rothenberg from UC San Diego, the professor there, and Dr. Susie Shooter and other top physicians who were in the early infancy about really learning how to add this to their practice and educate their patients. Because here is this situation where many doctors have only been trained with new pharmaceutical drugs, say in the case of psychiatry, and Dr. Shooter then, after learning about the symptoms and the treatment with hormones, was able to transition away from prescribing routinely the pharmaceutical drugs and learned that by a combination of balancing the hormones and restoring the nutrition and improving the mindset, that those things could actually restore, get to the cause of the problem emotionally and physically. Basically, we saw dramatic changes. So it's really caused me, I would say, that during the last nearly 15 years to focus and to train and to work with and now apply these principles for all the people that we see at the Delgado facilities, because we have Dr. Goslin and Dr. Sachdev who do evaluate and follow up, and we do saliva, blood, and urine tests. We can even send a test kit to a person who doesn't even come into our office and bring them up on Skype and educate them and teach them what they need to do.
Well, thank you, because I did want to ask you about this, because we have a lot of people of different age groups listening to this program, and I know at a certain age it's important to think about hormone replacement and hormone help, and also if someone has a certain disease state or anything like that. What age typically is that in men and women?
Well, many people certainly notice a decline in hormones as early as age 30 or 35. I would say that it depends on the individual and the current lifestyle that they're following, but it's not uncommon for, you know, then it to become very obvious when people reach past 40 or certainly past 50. I mean, it's certainly universal, and then by the age of 60 or 70, most of my clients, if they're not utilizing natural herbs and hormones and really working to replace these deficiencies, then they're really suffering the signs of aging. And we call it aging, and everyone just thinks, well, that's inevitable to have aches and pains in the joints, and we blame our age. But we may not realize that that could be related to a cortisol deficiency or a testosterone deficiency, particularly because testosterone is a natural anti-inflammatory, and so is cortisol, which protects the joints and the body and helps to preserve the immune system. So there's a number of various things that we take for granted. We think, oh, well, there's allergies and I'm reacting to the allergies of the season. You can't possibly mean that has anything to do with hormones, but it does. The sensitivity to chemicals, to foods, these things can also be related to severe hormonal imbalances. So I think that I can't name now a symptom that we normally will chalk up to aging that isn't at somehow directly or indirectly related to hormonal changes that we experience throughout our lifetime. I do have some young people who are in their 20s and some children that we treat for hormonal imbalances with our facilities, but I will say that the vast majority notice a severe and rapid decline, or at least if not in women, in men, a subtle decline to the point where they're noticing erectile function difficulties, they're noticing changes in their body shape and body fat, their changes that, you know, again, we just see in people that are older than us, and then all of a sudden we reach that age. Don't we just blink, Scott, and the next thing you know, you're a new decade.
It's true. It goes so quickly. I had a guy who worked for me once who was older than I, and I think I was 39 years old at the time, and he said, Scott, you wouldn't believe the years from 40 to 60 go by like that, and he snapped his fingers. And, you know, I think generally he's right. As you get older, the years go faster, and I asked someone once that question, why is that the case? And I think their answer was the one that always stuck in my mind, and it's that, well, you know, when you're 10 years old, a year just represents 10% of your lifespan. But when you're 50 years old, a year is like 2% of your lifespan. So each year is a smaller and smaller percentage of your the life that you've lived. So that's why it seems to accelerate. And that seemed to be the most obvious explanation to me, although I'm sure there are other reasons as well. So, Nick, I take it you don't buy into the testosterone poisoning philosophy that some have, the fact that testosterone is bad for you. I assume you don't buy into that.
You know, I think there's some confusion because some athletes have done two things. Once they've used the synthetic versions that are commonly available, believe it or not, to equine or to doctors that work with animals, and unfortunately they use massive dosages, and it could cause some side effects. Fortunately, some of the world experts, including Dr. Abraham Morgenthaler, wrote a book, Testosterone for Life, and then in my book I talked about how to preserve healthy joints in the book Stay Young, and my earlier book, which may be difficult to find on Google or Amazon in a search, but called Grow Young and Slim. And I can tell you this, that we know that testosterone is probably one of the more important natural substances that tends to decline with age. But worse, we tend to castrate ourselves literally by consuming certain foods that cause an increase in xenoestrogens and toxins in the environment from estrogen metabolism. So these block the beneficial effects of testosterone. And we used to blame testosterone in its relationship to PSA and prostate issues, and now we know that most of the men, according to Dr. Morgenthaler, that their PSA levels and their prostate enlargement or eventual prostate cancer oftentimes is tied into these excess estrogen problems that build up in the prostate, not due to high testosterone. In fact, most men with prostate problems have low testosterone and very high estrogen levels, and to compound that, they even have high concentrations of cholesterol, not just in their arteries if they've consumed a typical Western diet of junk food most of their life, but also cholesterol concentrating in the prostate itself, according to one recent Canadian study that showed that by lowering the cholesterol and reducing the bad estrogens and restoring the testosterone levels, many of the men are able to restore proper prostate function. It's just absolutely amazing that what hormones can do with herbs to balance the body to restore good health. And of course, we must include a healthier diet, eating things like bok choy, Napa cabbage, raw broccoli. These things have indole-3 carbonyl and diindole methane, which is a natural cruciferous-derived chemical in sufficient quantities, helps to detoxify these harmful xenoestrogens that we're all exposed to.
And so just, you know, there's something that you said there, Nick, that, and again, to those who have just joined us, I'm speaking with Nick Delgado, who's in Orange County and has patiently waited to come on. So we'll run over a bit late on this program because of that. But, Nick, you said something about, because you were very specific, as usual, you said raw broccoli and not cooked broccoli. If you cook the broccoli, does that make it less effective for you?
It completely nullifies the benefit of the protective phytochemicals that are found naturally present in cruciferous vegetables. So we can't cook it. We must consume it raw. So I give people creative ways to consume them in like a raw, putting the raw bok choy and Napa cabbage in a blender, using the, of course, the broccoli in raw salads. Yes, it's very important to have it raw.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Because I often eat it cooked, and I like it raw, but I guess now from now on I'll just eat it raw instead and not ever bother steaming it, which is what I typically do. And the other thing I wanted to ask you about is early on you'd kind of touched upon and then moved on about the herbs for hormonal replacement. These are ones I think you do use in your clinic, is that right? Or suggest for your patients there in Orange County. Is that, what kind of herbs are we talking about?
Well, Because just like you mentioned, many people aren't aware of the great need to consume sufficient amounts of these raw cruciferous vegetables. What often will happen is we'll take a product and we'll concentrate these natural phytochemicals from the cruciferous vegetables. In this case, it's called DIM and indole-3 carbinol. So I created a product called EstroBlock, and it's become very famous. I'm kind of amazed because other people are talking about it. David Wolf said it's the product of the decade. He talks a lot about, you know, raw, whole, natural foods, and others have talked about it. I noticed a blog from Australia, a lady saying that it actually helped her to get rid of her acne because of the unmetabolized estrogens that you would never imagine had anything to do with these estrogen-dominant problems. But as she took the EstroBlock, it got rid of this adult acne that she suffered from. And when she went off the product, the acne came back. When she went back on it, it went away. So it was very clear to her that by balancing her estrogen metabolism, not getting rid of it, but restoring the good estrogen, getting rid of the bad estrogen, it helped to detoxify her body. And, of course, the skin, as you know, is an excretion organ. Oftentimes, you know, toxins in the form of either pimples, which is, of course, you if some people pop them, it's got the white cells inside, and that's the lymphatic trying to drain and pull toxins out of the body. And acne is just a severe form of hormonal imbalance along with these toxins that tend to accumulate from the body.
Mm. Yeah, that's a really good point, and I would just ask if in doing that, if there's something for those. Let me step back and ask you, because you mentioned about these unmetabolized estrogens being a cause for that. What causes them to be unmetabolized in the first place? Maybe that's where I should start.
Yeah, that's really a good question. In normal, healthy metabolism of the body, what happens is we absorb these nutrients. And what people don't realize is that most doctors and even OBGYNs who study hormones of women will talk about specifically the estradiol, estriol, and estriome. But what they don't realize oftentimes is that estrogen itself it will turn into one of 40 different estrogen metabolites. So in other words, there are many forms of estrogen in the body, and what we've decided now is that some of these forms of estrogens are good, and some of them are rather problematic and toxic if they build up to a certain level. And I think part of it is that we've deviated from maybe what should have been the normal healthy diet. Think about this in human history. Do you think that in primitive man that they normally cooked their food? And it's unlikely, because we know documents show that fire was, you know, the development or the creation or the utilization of fire was a fairly recent phenomenon within the evolution of the human development. And secondly, you know, we then go further and we use concentrated meats, which tend to be pretty high in fat, and cheeses and oils, and all of these oils and fats, when they hit the gut, they turn into or convert into a large amount of estrogen metabolism. So hormones are dependent on the diet. Even testosterone, if taken by a man, will tend to turn into estrogen, and that's why a lot of these athletes develop, if they're using large dosages of synthetic estrogens, into gynecomastia, which is actually the formation of breast tissue, not just fatty tissue in their boob or the man, they call them man boobs, but in the chest area, but it actually forms breast tissue because of this excess estrogen that can be a male toxin in men. And I wrote a definitive paper that was published in the Anti-Aging Medical Therapeutics back in winter of 2003. So many doctors now are becoming more and more educated that there are multiple forms of estrogens, and see, the healthy body needs these raw cruciferous vegetable extracts chewed up in the mouth and going through the body to lend these enzymes to what's called metabolize the estrogens. So unmetabolized estrogens are the harmful ones. Metabolized estrogens are the safe ones, and they're the good type of estrogen that should be in the body. And almost every person that I measure through urine tests, or occasionally we'll do a blood test to measure this, but we can actually see that the change in the ratio, that is an increase in the good form of estrogen and ushering out of these bad form of estrogens. And you may not be aware of this, Scott, but Harvard University in 2012, this last year, published that consuming pasteurized milk has 30 times more estrogen sulfate, causing hormone-dependent cancers. And it turns out that in America, we milk the cows during their pregnancy, but in Europe, they are not allowed to milk the cows during their pregnancy. So all these excess estrogens come from milk, and they've been associated now with testicular cancer, prostate cancer, and even breast cancer.
Gosh, that's incredible. And a lot of our listeners are in countries, living in countries where the consumption of dairy products is quite high, and it's always been my contention, I'm pretty sure it's yours too, from our talks in Chicago and elsewhere, that, you know, after once someone is weaned off breast milk, they presumably breast milk, then they should not get on dairy. And you've just given a very strong reason why that's the case, so thank you for that. Kind of looping back, though, these unmetabolized estrogens, if they are loose and present in your system, did you say that DIM, like the uncooked broccoli, the Napa cabbage, and so on, would help clean those out of your system?
Yes, there's some very well-described scientific experiments that have shown that in breast cancer patients and in patients with fibroid tumors and patients with prostate cancer and even just people who don't even know they have cancer yet. And as you know it's gotten frightening to where 1 in 3 people are developing cancer. It's probably as high as 1 in 2 now, particularly with Fukushima and the dumping of these radioactive particles into our general environment. So I'm looking at people who are starting to realize the great importance of detoxifying these harmful estrogens that are a byproduct of, you know, chemical exposures. They're related to aging, particularly if a person's overweight. Their body underneath the skin has a way to convert some of the byproducts of chemical reactions into these estrogen metabolites. So the body, it tends to take almost all of the sex hormones, even DHEA. I've met people who take oral DHEA as a tablet and thinking they're doing themselves good and not knowing that they should be using it transmucosally or at least, very least, just rubbing it into the skin, and they'll get less conversion into the estrogen. But when they take it orally from the mouth, it's got to go through the liver and it'll metabolize and it'll tend to turn DHEA into estrogen in men instead of the very thing you need. And we really need to understand that people can take hormones properly if they understand the correct delivery and the dose and how to go about it. And this is one of the things that I'm a big proponent on. And I'm excited to tell people that things like passion flower from Chryson, that is the Chryson in passion flower, and there is a natural androgen in Scottish pine bark called androstenediol, and both of which will help to detoxify the conversion or translocation into from estrogen, from testosterone into estrogen. So we really need to educate people how important it is to get the hormones balanced and do it correctly, and where herbs fit in, plant derivatives that we've known for hundreds of years now. The Nobel Prize was awarded in 2011 for the discovery that wasabi has 40 times more active protective factors in what we call isothiocyanates than broccoli does, showing that it actually reduces the risk of bladder cancer, prostate, lung, and esophageal cancer. And that was published originally by Stoner and Morris in 1997. Wasabi, I mean, the stuff that you go to sushi bar and it makes your nose get all, inflamed, or at least the fumes are so powerful that they actually discovered that people who fell into a coma, they used a whiff of wasabi under their nose and it actually snapped them out of their coma, and that was why the Nobel Prize was awarded. That's the true story.
That is an amazing story. Well, I know wasabi, and I know that that it's pretty strong for me. I know some other people are asking some questions on our chat line. If you don't mind
okay.
my deviating a little bit from our topic, Nick, but I know you're so well-rounded, you can probably handle these with ease.
Sure, go ahead.
Thank you. Someone asked, before I lose that question, early on, they asked about if you're using a juicer, what type is the most efficient one? What do you recommend? Centrifugal, geared, twin geared? What do you recommend?
Yeah, I talked with one of my expert friends who has been offering juicers for quite a while, and I started off with a Vitamix for the whole natural fiber combined. So I do a majority of my food with a Vitamix to blend up the whole fruits and vegetables and get all the phytochemicals and enzymes. But I also use an Omega juicer. It was probably, for the money, one of the better made units, and I use that. What I do is I use that as the fluid. Instead of putting water in with the vegetables to blend them up in the Vitamix, I juice my greens. It takes me an extra 20 minutes with the help of my mom in the kitchen as well, but we take the wheatgrass and we take kale or Swiss chard and various greens, and we then juice them and take that juice, and oftentimes we'll mix it with some flaxseed soaked in water overnight, or a particularly chia seed, which I really like, and I soak that, and then we put that in the mix with bok choy, Napa cabbage, and then oftentimes we'll put in some beets and sometimes some yams, and blend that all up, and it's the most amazing super drink. I even created a product called Slim Blend and the Stem Cell Strong, so I mix in a powder or a scoop from each of those to get 52 whole fruits and vegetables added to the mix, which is rich in fiber. So it sounds like an elaborate formula. I have a cookbook coming out that actually has a lot of raw foods. It's coming out very soon here, I believe in about 2 months, and it's a reprint of my original cookbook that was one of my best-selling books of all time, for my publications. And I'm excited because so many people keep asking me, what was that recipe? How did you do that blended drink in the morning? And what are your favorite salads, and what do you put in them? And so I've got several hundred recipes that we put together, both cooked and raw and fresh, and using techniques without added animal product. And so they're gluten-free, dairy-free, vegan. We've really gone a step further for those people who are really conscientious, trying to get up to the next level of health.
Yeah, Nick, what is your website again so I can give it to the listeners? I think I gave it early on, but let me give it again because they could go there for further information on a lot of what we're talking about. I might as well get it in now.
Yeah, there's two good websites. One is nickdelgado.com, and the Nick, N-I-C-K, Delgado, D-E-L-G-A-D-O.com. And on there, you can click through to DelgadoProtocol.com, where I have small little videos these videos are, 3 to 8 minutes long, about descriptions of how these different things work and function in the body, and the herbs and the supplements and some of the things I recommend on a regular basis. And the other site is estroblock.com that we just posted up, and because so many people are concerned about, the estrogen-dominant cancers and some of the side effects of not understanding estrogen metabolism. So that's a new website that's just been posted, okay. estroblock.com.
Okay, I put that on the chat line for those who are on the chat line. And that leads to another question that someone asked about MMS. You know that product that used to be known as Miracle Mineral Solution, and now it's called Magical Mineral Solution or something like that. And do you know much about MMS and whether it's worth taking, or is it a big hoax, or what's the story on MMS?
Yeah, a few of my colleagues had introduced me to it, and I started, kind of a brief evaluation of it myself. I think that, one of the things that we see is, I know that some of the people want and they're searching for that kind of that miracle, and
yes.
I can just say that, if it's they talk about sodium chlorite, which is I think the principal active ingredient, and of course the MMS is what you're talking about. So I think I would step back and say, okay, so what's the purpose? Some people think that it tends to stop tumor activity in the body. I mean, there's been a number of claims about its healing properties. And I have people that I know that take it themselves, and I have to be frank with you. I mean, I don't see it, you know, transforming their life. What I see is those very same people eventually, they may incorporate something, say, as MMS in their protocol to detoxify the body. And I think in small quantities, it's safe and it's reasonable. I think my bigger concern is it takes people away from what they really need to do is get down to, you know, just some very serious introspective of how good is their diet, and especially at the cellular health. You know, Scott, you were fortunate, as many people that meet me at these conferences, where we actually were able to magnify in front of your eyes. We were demonstrating people's blood samples and what it looks like when we see free radical damage, and what it looks like to see misshaped cells or clumping of the blood and the white blood cell activity. And honestly, I like to look at people and then not just from exterior of how they tell me how good they feel, but I want to look at their cellular health. I want to look at their general circulation. I want to know, are they doing the right thing? So I've had a number of people who have told me that MMS helps with autism and it helps fight various conditions, but you know, of course, the FDA is going to take odds with anyone saying that it was the answer to AIDS or hepatitis or malaria or herpes. So I don't know what to tell you except to say that I know that there's some silver products that I've come across, Pro Silver, that I'm impressed with, and I'm doing evaluations now. But I put it to the test. I take these products and then I have people take them, and I look for oxidative stress because it claims that MMS gets rid of oxidative pathologies and gets rid of pathogens. But I think that many of the things they're saying may work. I think the Pro Silver is probably another natural way to build up the immune system. But I would also look at ways to build up the immune system through hormones, through herbs, through a whole healthy diet, and the positive mindset. I'm doing a big seminar this Friday at the Radisson Hotel in Newport Beach for those who are hearing this internationally, and I'm going to be speaking with one of the great NLP teachers, Nurka, who is one of the trainers with Tony Robbins. I was with Tony Robbins a few weeks ago in San Jose, and I can tell you that the power of the mind, Scott, I think you'd agree, that has an influence over one's health as well, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely, and I'm glad to hear you talk about it, because a lot of people talk about it very much divorced from other health aspects. They either talk about food and herbs and those kind of things, and never about the mental part, and yet you've integrated them both together, which is marvelous, and I appreciate it. And I have to say to the listeners as well that, yes, I was there at Nick had the Delgado Protocol had a booth there at the Chicago show, and Nick was kind enough to have me be tested there with a blood, you know, sample and all of that, and it's so professional, the arrangement that he had there, and spat out the answer in no time at all, and showed where I need to clean up my act and those areas where I didn't. So it was very good. So yes, power of the mind can actually affect DNA, as one of our listeners just said, and I agree with you on the positive nature of that, the benefit of that. Well, Nick, let me ask you something, because another listener asked this, and this is more on topic of what we wanted to talk about, and that is, so what about these situations where menopause comes early to women? Do you deal with situations like that where maybe they're 29, 30 years old, and then menopause sets in, and is there something that they can do to treat that?
Absolutely. You know, I have seen a number of people, and, you know, there's a common confusion or belief that, you know, menopause is for women past age of 45 or 50, and, you know, that's when it sets in. It really varies depending on the individual when their hormone levels start to decline, and that's why we have this really nice, nifty questionnaire on our website, and if they go to the nickdelgado.com, not to plug it, but just to say there's a section called Delgado Club, and they if they print out what's called a wellness survey. We've actually created this wellness survey based on working with Dr. Terry Hertog, who has spent the last 50 years in designing these questions associated with the early signs of menopause, or in the case of men, andropause. So there's very clear sections that are separated all the way from the typical obvious hot flashes, night sweats, vaginal dryness, you know, incontinence and these kind of things, and foggy thinking. But then you get down to things that you may not always realize are related to hormonal decline, such as depression or anxiety or sleep disturbances or headaches. So I can just simply tell you that, you know, as we go and have people take this free questionnaire, and they want to send it in the results, and then we talk to them about, you know, what kind of results we have, you know, it's really all about awareness, isn't it? You know, once people say they hear this problem of andropause or menopause, and, you know, the next thing you know, they go to a doctor who only understands maybe just estrogen and progesterone, two hormones, and they may not be aware that there's several other things going on, if they only knew which hormones related to that. It could be low thyroid, it could be low DHEA, it could be low testosterone. And don't forget that men as well as women need testosterone as they age. So, you know, again, we really have to understand how simple, God created us, and then for whatever reason, we have these declines in hormone levels, and we just accept that over the centuries and decades that that's just normal. But also, God gave us this wonderful brain that we can figure out ways to replace these deficiencies. And some people might argue that doesn't seem natural or normal, but it's not natural or normal to have low thyroid and suffer your whole life with low thyroid and have fatigue and cold hands and feet and loss of hair and all the things related to low thyroid. So if a doctor prescribes a natural thyroid medicine instead of a synthetic Synthroid, but they use T3, T4, and they know the use of iodine and combinations of L-tyrosine, and they really are sophisticated like the doctors I work with at Delgado Protocol, then you know what? That person's going to be in good hands. They're going to see the symptoms go away instead of taking the synthetic pharmaceutical that the doctors have been trained by the drug companies and the sales reps that call on them. So it's not that I'm opposed to, you know, hormone intervention, which is what typically is called HRT, hormone replacement therapy. I'm more concerned about people learning about bioidentical hormones that are natural to the body, not synthesized and chemically different. Now, let's not be unfair. All of these hormones do come from wild yam, from natural sources. They come from plants, but in the laboratories, the pharmaceutical companies will take that same natural hormone that would be in your body, and they'll convert it to a different chemical so they can patent it, control it, and then make billions, not millions. Hear me clearly, it's a $1 billion industry regarding growth hormone, testosterone, DHEA, all these natural hormones, but they can't control it when it's a bioidentical hormone. They can't patent it because it's natural to the body, what we need.
Well, what could, so someone who's a younger woman, for example, who's encountered menopause, what could she do right now to get back on track? Would it be taking the bioidentical hormones, but of course seeing a qualified healthcare practitioner to make sure she's taking the correct amount? Is that what would be involved? Or?
Well, correct. You know, the person can start with, like I said, doing that wellness questionnaire with all the hormone questions, and then they can just simply send for a simple saliva kit that measures 11 different hormones, and within 2 weeks you get the results back, and it's only like around $99 to get the test done, but we get the results back, and one of our qualified educators can review it, and if they want to consult with one of our doctors, you know, there's a small fee to talk with one of the doctors. But the point is, you know, get with people who are educated. There's other doctors across the country. I work with the World Health .net group, and they have a number of doctors across the country that have heard me lecture and are trained and educated in this area. So, you know, again, just choose someone who's very, very knowledgeable, who they themselves are utilizing natural bioidentical hormones and eating healthy, and they look good, and maybe you get a chance to quiz them a little bit. And if it matches your criteria, idea of what you think makes sense, and their answers make sense, and they're not just trying to sell you to see them and, you know, to get you to do a lot of expensive things like injectable growth hormone that can run, oh my gosh, you know, anywhere from $400 to $800 a month. It doesn't have to be that expensive. There's a number of natural applications now available that will restore and balance out most, if not all, the hormones. Women like to start with simple estriol cream, and they can use progesterone cream, and we have a product called Testrovita cream that restores at least three of the key hormones naturally just by applying on the skin or transmucosally. And when I say transmucosally, it absorbs at 80% higher when it's absorbed either vaginally or anally. Just a very small amount inserted up into the body absorbs quickly and effectively without it being blocked by the skin, because the skin is a protective agent to block out things from the body. It will absorb through the skin, don't get me wrong, but you're only getting about 20% absorption. You'll get better absorption just from direct application.
Ah, okay. That makes sense, too. And I understand that if you do the direct application on the surface of the skin, of course, what other place is there? Not the under surface of the skin. That you need to move the sites around because they can become saturated. Is that true, Nick? Or
yeah, that's true. And also the thinner areas, like around the neck area, are going to be better absorbed. The crease of the arm, if it's in the body fat area, it's going to have on some people so much depth of fat, it's going to be difficult to get any benefit from the hormone itself. So you do want to apply it in the thinner areas of the body and or transmucosally. And Dr. Jonathan Wright, in his book that he had a foreword by Suzanne Summers, and I think it's called Stay Young, The Sexy Years, they talked very clearly about some of the benefits. And what I like about it is that the doctors I work with also understand 24-hour urine hormone testing, because sometimes people have a single blood test or a saliva test, and that picks up that moment in your body's transition of where the hormone levels are. But because hormones cycle and change every hour, in men they cycle that in the case of testosterone every 15 minutes, it's important to get kind of the total level measurement, and that's what 24-hour urine will do, just collecting the urine for a whole day. You know, you have to urinate anyway, so have a container, collect it, and send it off to the lab that we have arrangements with, and we'll get the results back. And this is something that Jonathan Wright wrote about in his book, Stay Young and Sexy, and Dr. Terry Hertog, the world expert, in his book, Hormone Solution, and in my book, Grow Young and Slim. So I can just tell you that there's been thousands of patients that are now benefiting from this natural bioidentical hormone replacement. I'm really excited to share it with people because they feel so good when it's done properly and correctly, when you balance out all the key hormones.
Yeah, that's a really good point, Nick. And I know that's one of your areas of expertise. I want to tell people who are listening, our listeners out there, that Nick has written a lot of material. We mentioned one book, Grow Young and Slim by Nick Delgado. He's written others. He's written a ton of articles. And he just submitted one to us very graciously for publication in the National Health Federation journal that's been out under various names for more than 55 years, and that's Health Freedom News, and it'll be on the how to deal with the, and I think one of our listeners actually asked this question, how to deal with the poisoning by radiation of the fish in the sea, and that is, that's something incredible. So for those of you who aren't already members of the National Health Federation, please join. Go to our website, www.the.com, and join so you can get the magazine and get more information from people like Nick, who really know how to maintain and preserve your health, in fact, improve your health. And I would dare say, Nick, and I didn't know you 20 years ago, but I bet you're even healthier now than you were 20 years ago, is my guess.
Oh, definitely.
Do you mind if I give the chat room your email address? And let me do that right now. There are some of our listeners who might want to contact you about directly about some of these things that you've talked about. And I know we haven't had enough time to, so I gave Nick D, PhD at yahoo.com, which is on your business card. So I assume that's a good address, Nick.
Yes, yes,
okay.
That's fine.
And then you have that blog as well, which everyone should go to, and I recommend nickdelgado.com. And then there's also the URL, the website is delgadoprotocol.com. So there are all of these, and I'm just typing these on as I say them for those listeners who can see. Well, we're coming kind of near the end. We've run over into the other person's program, but we haven't done yet the full hour. Is there anything in particular, Nick, that I haven't touched on that we should really tell the listeners about hormones or any, you know, like common problems that people should keep an eye out for that they might notice as a hormonal dysfunction that they should take care of? Anything like that that you can think of? I know I'm hitting you with this out of the blue, but anything you can think of right offhand?
Yeah, I like to create easy solutions for people because if you start off in a direction where you're wanting to improve your health, and let's say you're concerned because you have high blood pressure or you have difficulty sleeping at night or you have inflammatory problems and joint issues, or maybe your endurance isn't what it was, or even a decline in sexual function, surprisingly, there's new evidence that only in the last 3 years, and although nitric oxide was discovered in 1998, that is, the Nobel Prize was awarded for the discovery of its proper use and why this molecule is so important, and that certain plant foods have now been proven to restore nitric oxide levels. So when you ask me about the juicer, the reason that I added the juicer to my Vitamix protocol is because I wanted to increase the amount of greens, particularly Swiss chard, kale, arugula, spinach, and then beets, and these things because they're high in nitrates. And we used to think nitrates were toxic or harmful. And we actually have measurements for nitrates in the water and so forth. But the surprising thing is these nitrates, when we chew them up in the plants, the natural form of nitrates, not from chemical-derived nitrates like amyl nitrates in the drug industry and the heart medicines, but which tend to deplete certain enzymes. But these plant nitrates, when you chew it up in your saliva, it converts into nitric oxide. And nitric oxide is now been shown to reduce the risk of melanoma cancer and those people are exposed to a lot of sunlight. It reduces free radical damage. It surprisingly lowers triglycerides, fats in the blood, improves endurance, and lowers blood pressure when used in common sense with a low-fat, you know, healthy whole foods diet and exercise program. But also, we're seeing a number of people, and there's 57 million Americans with insomnia. It helps to overcome insomnia. And we're now seeing many, many people telling me they're getting deep, deep quality sleep using a product that I made called Modulate and Stay Young. These two products are concentrated from the healthy forms of plant nitrates in beets, arugula, and L-citrulline. And so when we chew these little tablets up, it helps the body to release even more nitric oxide that we have to replace on a daily basis. If it declines, then our circulation suffers. We suffer signs of premature aging and oxidative stress. So I think that's one message besides detoxifying the harmful xenoestrogens. And when you mentioned that, I'm so excited about contributing an article to the NHF, the National Health Federation, because I have spoken at many of the conferences in Long Beach and Chicago, as you know, but it's also a great meeting place on the website, and to be able to join forces with other like-minded people who want to help raise the awareness against vaccinations, fluoridation, know, GMOs. I've been on these panels where they've had me speak, and now people like yourself, I really appreciate this, Scott, this opportunity, because that means more and more people are going to know the truth about things and not hidden by government agendas and special groups that are making huge profits, as you and I know, instead of at the expense of people's health.
Yes, no, I appreciate your saying that, and I really appreciate it at the Chicago Health Freedom Expo, the depth of your dedication to this, not only to maintaining and expanding upon people's health, but also the health freedom aspects of it as well. So I'm really glad you raised it, and I appreciate that immensely. Do you have time? I know we've run well past what I told you. Do you have time for a couple more questions,
Sure.
Nick? One of our listeners asked a question. Basically, do we really want to delay menopause because we have youthful levels of hormones? This person had heard that we need to perhaps reduce the lifetime exposure to estrogen in order to prevent cancer. So they were a little bit confused about whether it's a good thing or a bad thing to delay menopause or not, or restore menopause. I'm sorry, to restore the menstrual cycle, excuse me. And speaking like a man here. And so what do you think about that? Or is this getting into the bad estrogen versus the good estrogen?
Well, you know, I'm glad you brought that up, because it's not so much delaying, because eventually, of course, women will transition. But in the Eastern medicine, and in Okinawa, where the longest lived people exist, and women and men live to, 90, 92 is the average age, 87, far above the average age in America. And you'll notice that because they eat a lot of yams and sweet potatoes. And of course, sweet potatoes is one of the derivatives where we get natural healthy hormones, and a 100-year-old in their culture actually has significantly higher natural testosterone, estrogen, and DHEA than a 70-year-old in our culture. So in other words, they're 30 years younger than we are when they're reaching 100. So their delay of menopause is natural due to their basic diet, the healthy diet. When we eat a lot of meat, cheese, eggs, and dairy product, we change and alter and create these harmful estrogens in our bodies. And so it brings on the symptoms of hot flashes, loss of libido, and mood swings, when in reality, a whole foods diet, exercise, and using the right supplements is going to not per se delay it in a harmful way, but to allow a easy transition so the body can remain, you know, healthy. And, you know, some women say, well, you know, sometimes my periods come back when I'm using hormones. Well, they may be using too high of a dosage, and they don't want to have the normal cycling of bleeding. And some people like it and think, oh, well, I'm younger, I'm back to having, you know, cycles again. But others, you know, don't, and it's just simply a matter of decision. But I think that when you compare the way that estrogen dominance causes so many side effects in our culture compared to some of the women that we've monitored for hundreds of years in the Eastern world, where their diet, I think, is a lot healthier and they're less exposed to some of these xenoestrogens.
I see. Okay. That makes sense. All right, and I understand some women get hot flashes only when they eat fish. What do you think causes that?
Well, let's not be surprised by the fact that fish itself, depending on the type of fish, some fish are pretty fatty, and there are good fats and there are bad fats. Don't get me wrong. I know you need fat in a diet, but I tend to like myself some of the whole natural fresh omega-3, 6, and 9 is actually just as well balanced in the evening evening primrose and the flaxseed and the chia seed. So I like to soak those to get my essential fatty acids and not drench my body with a lot of excess oils and fats. I mean, if I use a supplement with a, you know, a little teaspoon equivalent amount in a capsule, then that might make sense. You know, but once again, I think that fish itself could stimulate or change a person's cycle, just due to the fact that in the case of salmon, it's 75% fat. Some of the fish, you know, that tend to have more fat than other fish, and fat will definitely affect or alter hormone changes in the body. And of course, if you read the article that is going to come out from the National Health Federation, or at least the letter, is fish safe to eat? And I think you were intrigued enough to consider publishing that, and I'm looking forward for the readers to review it.
Yeah, thank you, Nick. Not only intrigued enough to consider it, we will be publishing it. It's very well written, and I barely had to breathe on it to edit it, since I edit the magazine Health Freedom News. But yes, and those of you who are members of NHF out there, we'll get to read Nick's article that'll come out in September, I think it is. And so I appreciate that. And then also, maybe heavy metals might contribute to hot flashes from fish, like mercury or something. I'm just guessing here, but I don't really know. And, you know, it's just whether or not mercury in some fish might be a contributing factor or not. What do you think, Nick?
Well, yes, I would say that heavy metals do not belong in the body, and there is some belief that there are what's called organic heavy metals when they're plant derived, and they tend to be detoxified to an extent. But the normal rock-like heavy metals that are inorganic tend to be really rather toxic, and there's some known ways through micronized silica that detoxifies. I wrote about it in this article because some of the very same steps that detoxify the body from radioactive poisoning and radioactive particles that we're being exposed to here from Fukushima, that many of these same steps I've outlined in my article. I mentioned hydroponic growing of plants, that way, yeah, you don't have the airstream causing these particles to end up in our food supplies. But baking soda detoxifies some of these harmful chemicals and heavy metals. Iodine, kelp, and seaweed's been helpful. Chlorella helps to neutralize some of the DNA changes that we expect. The food grade zeolite is very helpful. And some people like to use nutritional IVs that have a little bit of 5% baking soda in the intravenous that we have at our offices, sodium ascorbate and CoQ10. So there's a number of things that I recommend. And I will tell you this, that many of the plant whole foods rich in natural fiber, when individuals, when they did studies on this, that the toxin chemicals were decreased by 50 to 90% simply by consuming 30 to 60 grams of fiber a day, which is what our ancestors did on a routine basis. So just eating whole natural foods, the fruits, the vegetables, the rich natural fibers from brown rice and beans and peas, all these things, walnuts soaked in water overnight. I soak all my nuts and seeds. It's amazing how women will tell you that many of the symptoms of menopause start to go away when they start eating this whole, fresh, natural diet and exercise program. It really makes a difference. And then if they want to use some of the herbs that restore hormones or some of the phytoestrogens, it's been shown that some of the longest-lived cultures actually do eat a little bit of the fermented soy, which I think tempeh and miso are probably appropriate and will be helpful as well.
And they wouldn't hurt men either, would they, the miso?
Correct.
Or tempeh? Okay. Well, this has been really super helpful, and I really appreciate, Nick, you're having taken the time and gone over the schedule. During part of that, I posted on the chat line your contact information yet again, and I really would hope and wish that you could be on the show with us again, and I will look forward to getting more information, more articles from you, Nick. You're a terrific speaker. I know when you spoke at the Health Freedom Expo, you drew a huge crowd there as people heard you speak about how to stay young, anti-aging, and not grow old where you're decrepit, but age in a very healthy way, which really seems to be your forte. So I don't know if there are any last things you'd like to say to the audience, but I want to thank you again and invite you back another time as well.
Well, thank you, and I'd look forward to sharing with your audience, and as we posted on Facebook this show as well, because I want my audience to listen to some of your coming shows. I know you cover some really important topics and subjects, and it's just, again, thank you very much for having this opportunity, and I will definitely contribute more articles as I'm writing prolifically. Almost every night I get up early and write these articles to, hopefully spread the word and teach people, because there's a lot of confusion when it comes to health and counter information that sometimes needs to be clarified.
Yeah, that is, you are so right. So often we encounter that. And it does need to be challenged, the bad information,
yep,
that's out there. So I'm glad you're one of the good guys. And thank you again, Nick, very much. And to the audience, let me say this was Nick Delgado, and I recommend that everyone who's interested in better health go to his blog, nickdelgado.com, or to the website, Delgado Protocol. That's spelled, of course, Delgado is spelled D-E-L-G-A-D-O. Protocol is, of course, the way it sounds, protocol.com, and get more information. And while you're at it, look at our website at the National Health Federation, the NHF.com, and sign up on our email list, and more particularly, please join. We need more members out there. We have an NHF Ireland group. We have NHF UK. We have NHF Belgium, NHF Germany, NHF Sweden, and NHF Italy, and we're just working at building the organization, so we can use your help too. Nick, thank you, and we will talk to you again. And to the listeners out there, thank you very much, and we will say goodbye. The link to his book, to Nick's book, by the way, just go, I would assume, to the website and and find it there. The book that's coming out, is that the one about grow young and stay slim, or grow young and slim, that you
were mentioning? we're rewriting that book to have a new release, and we have a new cookbook coming out very shortly. So in the next couple months, right now they can get the Stay Young book for joints. It helps the joints and inflammation and gives them all the steps about what research we know to benefit healthy joints and good movement, body movement.
Okay. Thank you, Nick, and I appreciate your letting us cut into your lunchtime there in Orange County. And so we appreciate it, and thanks, and I'll be talking to you again soon. Okay?
Perfect. Thank you.
Thanks.
Very good.
All right. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Bye for now.